Gary Sefton here at the Spire in Brighton. Gary, the last time I was sitting in this church converted into an arts centre theatre space, a breathtaking space for promenade, dynamic theatre, you were back with A Christmas Carol for, I think, third time. It'd been touring round. It's a big success. And so I'm interested just to ask first, with a sellout success that could just sell out every year, you took a decision not to come back again.
Yeah, I think Christmas Carol was such a massive hit and a success. I'll be really honest with you, I was nervous about trying to do another Christmas show. How do you top that? You know, it's such a complete piece of theatre, and it ticks the boxes on, you know, well, not that you can box tick with that kind of piece of work, but it was so complete that I thought, what do we do? I don't want to wreck somebody's Christmas by doing a different piece.
And no, but you could have just milked it for years, couldn't you?
Yeah, I suppose the problem there is that then we're not a company who's developing and trying new ideas, and we're just sort of farming it out. I mean, you're right, we probably could have done that. So I thought about Beauty and the Beast. I thought, why not? Let's have a look at that, because I was familiar with it and I'd looked at it before and I'd been in it before. So, you know, often stuff you've done before, you come back with that idea. And then the more and more I looked at it, I thought, still doesn't quite make sense. And then I thought, well, actually, Beauty and the Beast is sort of, when you look at Dracula, it kind of is, on some levels, it is a similar story.
But had you done that at Christmas, Beauty and the Beast would have been, like so many shows like that, a show that happens to happen at Christmas, whereas A Christmas Carol is the quintessential Christmas show.
That's right. So then I thought, well, why don't we go for another event, like so that we become part, it becomes a sort of celebration of an event. Mm. And I'd been looking at Dracula, and I did some work on it at Chichester University with students there. Mm. And I thought, actually, this is what we should be doing. Because I think what you've got to do with the space is you've got to marry what you're doing with the space. You could do lots and lots of things, and of course you can, but I think our signature sort of style is that you're coming to see Dracula at the Spire. It's not just Dracula, you know, end on them. So it's got the same principles and ethos and surroundings as Christmas Carol, but we're using it slightly differently. But we embrace everything about the space and the church. Yeah. And of course, you know, Dracula's full of redemption and God and evil. And it's doing so much work for us. We've still got to work quite hard. But
as we sit here in this space, you know, a church. There's a big window down that end, you know. There's a big gallery here where an organ could be. And when you did A Christmas Carol, you absolutely claimed this space for that piece. And the way you've just talked, it's almost like now this feels a bit like a home. Maybe not your only home, but a home. So for the people listening, beyond this is a church, from the theatre maker point of view, what does this space offer when you make a decision to do, say, Dracula?
Well, like you say, it already has those elements in, and the stained glass windows and the space. I mean, the sound is quite interesting in here, which you have to embrace. You probably hear it now, you know. It gets very, very lively.
I turn my head away from you, and I can hear you coming from slightly somewhere else.
So we can use all of that. We've added a few little elements. You see we've added a kind of little arch here.
God, you just built onto this church, I just noticed.
Only a tiny bit. I thought about building more, and again, when there's no point, you might as well do it in a theatre if you're going to put in lots and lots of set. So we've only added a few elements, just so it feels a bit different. And one of the big elements is that we're trying to use parts of it like an asylum. So, one of the characters, Renfield, is holed up in an asylum that's being controlled by Dracula. We're using it still in traverse, audience on two sides, but this time a few little different changes so you can get round. And we're still, to be honest, we've just done a full run this morning and I think we're still discovering how it works. You will be able to, like Christmas Carol, it was like, you know, you come and have a glass of mulled wine. We're still trying to keep the spirit of that. So you can come and have a drink as well while you watch the show. It's an hour long, and I'd like to think of it more of as an event, not just a piece of theatre. The story is we're still discovering. You know, I think it's a tale of redemption, really, about forgiveness.
But is it your intention to scare?
Oh yeah.
Phew.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's perfect for that. I say scare. I mean, I think it's sort of theatrical scaring. I suppose there's lots of tricks you could do in here, but you know, you've heard me bang on about it before. But it's I believe really strongly in strong storytelling, and that we don't sacrifice anything for storytelling. So gimmicky or jump frights and things like that, if it doesn't suit, it doesn't fit the story. But people who have watched it have gone, oh, but it's quite scary. You know,
you look a bit scary.
Yeah, I do. I am a bit scary.
But for a performer, you know, is there a challenge then not to rely too much on that and find a character that doesn't, you know, there's a danger of a laziness there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the story is about, it's about, could you forgive somebody like that? Could you find it, Mina's journey is to, can you find forgiveness in your heart for somebody who is sensibly a murderer, wants to take over the world, but he's damaged. He's really damaged. And when you look deeper into a character and why they're driven, there's usually a really good reason. Mm. We'll be working on that. I'm hoping I can achieve that, that you go, it's terrible what he did, but can I find it in my heart to forgive? I suppose one of the strengths of Christmas Carol was you had a little look back over your life. I mean, it's Christmas, so you do. You sort of look back and go, what have I been like this year? What am I like? And I'm hoping with this that it's not just a fright fest gothic horror, that you, that there's an emotional truthful line through it in some way, but theatrical, that you go, yeah, what could I forgive in that moment? Am I a good person?
Yeah, and you did that very well in A Christmas Carol, and I've seen that a few times, and actually there were different things in it. Yeah. Each time I saw it, absolutely, if you wanted your Christmas fix, you got it, and you stayed very true to the spirit of the Dickens novel, and you know, it was not a derivative piece. No. But so many versions have been derivative; they sort of overlap a bit. Yeah. But we did get a story that wasn't just that. In the case of this one, people of my age are going to remember the Hammer horrors, the sort of Christopher Lees. Younger kids are going to see all the teen vamp movies and stuff. It's out there. But as a writer, I think you told me last time, you sort of don't have that around you, like a bunch of ghosts haunting your writing. You just write,
you? Not really, no. And I imagine there's a two-hour version of it that you could write, and I've just thought, I'm sure you can get to the heart, literally to the heart of this. So I've not really watched, I watched a little, it just happened to be on Facebook the day, I watched a little clip of one of the older versions, but I don't really work like that. I read the book extensively, I mean, for about 6 months. And then after a while, I just had to put it away and go, we're telling this story. This is our story. There's a lot of it you think, do I really need to explain that? I mean, most people know what a vampire... It's all that, you know, do you explain what a vampire is? Do you have to? And we'll find out, I suppose, whether if we follow the story. But I hope you will. I think, the style of this is that it's... If you talk about Hammer House of Horror and things like that, this is much more theatrical, physical, inventive, I think. I
mean, and the story exists outside of the original novel very much so, whereas the Christmas Carol Dickens, there is a seminal piece of work that people often refer to. Yeah. Did you sit down knowing the story and kind of absolutely suggest away the novel that was written by Stoker and write your version that wasn't referring too much to it?
I think I was guided by the book, and some of it is like, how do you do that? How do you do that? Sometimes I keep the how do you do that in because that's the challenge. Like, can you, you know, all the staking and all that. Yeah. Like, how do you do that? How do you do that on stage? You know, so we have to find a way, and you know, we're finding kind of a different way of doing it and see if that works. Right. I was led by the book, and then after a bit, you have to put it down. I mean, it's a series of lots and lots of letters. It's kind of quite, you know, last time we met, we were talking about Frankenstein. This way of writing was all journals and letters and correspondence, and you've got to kind of get rid of that because it sort of feels not immediate enough. It's not sort of happening there.
And knowing that you're playing the part that you're playing, when you wrote it, are you picturing in your head Gary Sefton?
No, you're really not. And if I'm really honest with you, I'm not doing it for any sense of like, oh, look at me. It just... actually, even in the book, he's not a huge part of it. He's more like a presence. So... Christmas Carol, I was in it all the time and threaded through. This time I kind of watch from afar, and then he appears and disappears like a fog, they say. So no, I don't write things with me at the front of it. We just had a chat now about, you know, I do believe, and it's not me just sort of saying it, I do believe quite strongly in company and ensemble, and that we all have ownership. And I think the stuff that we do is built on spirit. It's built on our good spirit, and that's what I'm really trying to do, is tell a story together, and we're, everybody is equal.
Here, a few days out from kind of first night, that ensemble, they're all out on the grass having lunch in the sunshine, actually, and here we are in the slightly cool, actually, church, physically cool temperature. When they come back in, what's that rehearsal looking like?
We've got, I call it kind of clinicking, so we did a run this morning to see what rises, see what needs work. We're in that, what I'd call kind of mid-term memory sort of stage, where they sort of know what it is, but you're not quite able to connect. It's just process, and you have to trust that, I think, as an actor and a company. You can pull it out, but how do you keep doing it if you don't have a solid process behind it? So we'll come back in. We've got quite a lot of work to do, quite a lot to fix, to maybe change, to edit, adjust. And we keep working through. We have a kind of hit list of things. And as a director, I think that bit will be all right. It'll solve itself. And sometimes you just have to get in the spanner and tighten something up or change something. Mm.
And then as you get closer to first night, what's going on inside you as you... You know, Ebenezer Scrooge is hard enough to play and mark yourself out as not just another Ebenezer Scrooge. Mm. There have been a lot of Draculas. The lights are going to come up at some point, or you're going to walk in, and that's the first time we'll see you.
Yeah.
What's your ambition for that?
I'm actually, what I'm trying to do is, I keep thinking of all the big famous horror or thrillers that have survived, and I think it's about not seeing too much too soon, and that's what I'm trying to do, is that you don't get the money, you know, if you think of Jaws, you don't really see the shark for ages, and that's what I'm trying to do, is that he's a presence, and then because once he's out of the traps, you haven't really got anywhere to go. So I'm trying to, that's what I've been aiming towards, quite a filmic sort of approach. I'm hoping it'll be surprising.
Does your warm-up include biting into a rare steak?
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, God. That's tomato juice, then.
Yeah, we've all got these teeth, which we've made, and I wasn't sure about them, but they really change you. You put these, they're really brilliant. You buy these little teeth, and we stick them in with Fixodent. We should have a commercial for them. You can get a bit obsessed with the teeth and the blood. We keep it sparing. I've always tried to let audiences have imagination, fill in the blanks. You don't need it served up. There's great move. Well, yeah, there are some great movies and great contemporary versions of Dracula. This is Dracula at the Spire. This is our version.
And in the spirit of that, and I'm not a big fan of kind of warnings and stuff like that, but for the many, many people that have booked tickets that came on the back of your reputation with A Christmas Carol, what should they not expect? What expectations are going to, you know, it's better that they leave them at the door, because they're not going to get a warm Christmas cheer show, are they?
I think they will be thrilled, and with a slightly different approach this time, because there's more of a chorus, a more ensemble sort of feel. I mean, it was an ensemble last time, but I'm using more chorusy kind of techniques to push the story through, because there's large bits of the book that you'd go on forever. Yeah. So we've got a new element in it.
I've heard from you already, this is not a horror fest. This is not just a bunch of gory special effects. There is a story, which is probably the bridge from A Christmas Carol to this.
It's not dissimilar. The story is not dissimilar. And it sits really beautifully in this church. Mm. It's a story of redemption, I think. Forgiveness and a bit of horror.
Gary Sefton, we can't wait to see this one. Thank you.
Thanks very much.